Our scripture reading for this morning is Acts 20, verse 28. Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. And before we go into our message, let's turn to the Lord in prayer. Blessed Holy Father, we thank you, Lord, for this Lord's Day and for the opportunity to receive the nourishment of your word. And we pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would make effective the work of your Holy Scripture upon our hearts, so that as we are nourished and strengthened by your word, that we may be sanctified. And so, Lord, we pray that all that we receive through your word this morning will not be received in vain, but may be instrumental to enable us to grow into the likeness of your Son, Jesus Christ, whom you have sent as our Redeemer, so that being reconciled to you, that we may receive your favor as children of God, now and forever. And so, Lord, we pray, bless this message now for the purpose of our growth and nourishment. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Well, last Sunday, we concluded our series in Philippians, having worked through it since January of last year, chapter by chapter, verse by verse. And now we're kind of in the intermediate time in between series. Before we go into our next message series, however, we're going to spend this Sunday studying Acts 20, 28. As many of us are aware, we're going to be holding the ordination service for ruling elder elect Michael San later today. So I thought it would be appropriate to consider a text from Scripture which sums up the responsibilities pertaining to the office of ruling elder. This is Acts 20, 28. Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. In the context of today's text is the Apostle Paul's farewell address to the Ephesian elders. And among the many things that he tells them, he charges them to fulfill their role as overseers of the church of God. So what is the central role of an elder? The central role of an elder is to be an overseer to Christ's flock. The Greek word translated as overseers is episkopos, which is derived from two Greek words, epi and skopos. Skopos means a watchman. Epi is an intensifier. So this word, episkopos, means to watch very, very closely. To be, if you will, a super watcher. Episkopos, a super watcher or supervisor. That's what elders are meant to do. Elders are meant to pay careful attention to the church, much in the way a shepherd pays careful attention to his sheep. We read in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 1 to 2. So I exhort the elders among you as a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight. Oversight. A shepherd keeps careful watch over the sheep for the purpose of exercising oversight. And an elder is to exercise oversight over Christ's flock for the purpose of taking care of them. Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to care for the church of God. How does a shepherd care for his flock? Well, MacArthur writes in his commentary, shepherds must watch over the sheep to assess their condition so as to lead, guard, and feed them. And that's the basic responsibility of a shepherd, leading, guarding, and feeding the sheep. So also must the elders do the same as he carefully watches over the church. Leading the church, guarding the church, feeding the church. First of all, a shepherd must be careful to feed the flock. As someone who grew up watching shepherds and who would spend 8 years of his life as a shepherd himself, the author Philip Keller tells us that feeding sheep is no idyllic task. Apparently, many of the major sheep countries of the world are in semi-arid regions. And according to Philip Keller, sheep thrive in semi-arid regions. They thrive in dry climate where there are fewer parasites and fewer health hazards. But feeding them in a semi-arid region such as Palestine requires hard work. He writes, green pastures did not just happen by chance. Green pastures were the product of tremendous labor and time and skill in land use. Green pastures were the result of clearing rough, rocky land, of tearing out brush and roots and stump, of deep plowing and careful soil preparation, of seeding and planting special grains and legumes, of irrigating with water and husbanding with care the crops of forage that would feed the flocks. All of this represented tremendous toil and skill and time for the careful shepherd. If his sheep were to enjoy green pastures amid the brown, barren hills, it meant he had a tremendous job to do. Feeding the sheep was a tremendous job. It required hard work. In Scripture, elders are charged with feeding the sheep by teaching them. They are to feed the flock with the nourishment of God's Word. In fact, the ability to teach is one of the qualifications that distinguishes elders from deacons. According to Scripture, both elders and deacons must be dignified. It's a shared qualification. Both elders and deacons must be free from greed, another shared qualification according to Scripture. Both must be sober and free from drunkenness. Both must be blameless. But according to Scripture, it is the elder who is singled out for the responsibility of teaching. As one writer observes, Paul is crystal clear that the indispensable quality which incidentally distinguishes the elder from the deacon is the ability to master Christian doctrine, to evaluate it in others, to teach it, and to debate it with those who teach falsehood. So we're told in Scripture regarding the elder in Titus 1:9, he must hold firm to the trustworthy word as taught, so that he may be able to give instruction in sound doctrine and also to rebuke those who contradict it. Not all elders are able or perhaps even gifted to preach regularly from the pulpit, and there is scriptural warrant to believe that some elders are meant to be especially active in the role of preaching and teaching. And by the way, that's why our denomination recognizes two classes of elder, ruling elder and teaching elder. But nonetheless, even with these things in consideration, according to the Word of God, all elders must be capable teachers of God's Word so that they might fulfill their role as a shepherd to feed the flock. And As we pointed out earlier, that means hard work for the elder. Just as a shepherd needed to toil to feed his flock, so also the elder needs to toil. It means clearing away the rocks of unbiblical ideas. It means tearing out the brush of false teaching. It means the labor of studying God's word and the preparation that goes into teaching it to others. He must not only pay careful attention to the flock in this responsibility, but he also must pay careful attention to himself. Verse 28, our text. Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock. The elder must pay careful attention to his own teaching to ensure that he remains faithful and true to the gospel. He must, as we were taught last week, handle God's word with fear and trembling. That's how the Apostle Paul handled the gospel in 1 Corinthians 2:3. If you remember from last week, he handled it with fear and much trembling. This is referring to careful reverence. Years ago, I remember hearing someone say quite confidently that the book of Romans is an easy book of the Bible. An easy book. Well, it took my mentor, Martin Lloyd-Jones, 13 years to preach through that easy book because of its profound depth. You know, it took me, as some of us know, a little over a year to preach through Philippians. Imagine a sermon series that spanned 13 years. It took Dr. Lloyd-Jones 13 years to preach through the book of Romans because of its depth. A sort of glibness which calls the book of Romans an easy book must never characterize an elder's or any other Christian's attitude towards the Word of God. See, because it's when people treat God's Word casually and lightly that they start making careless mistakes in their understanding of it and in their teaching of it. As a teacher, the elder must be especially careful to handle the Word of God seriously. And the flock, on their part, should never be dismissive of the labor and preparation which the elder puts into teaching. The elder who toils to feed the flock, the wholesome feed of God's word, is doing the work of a watchful shepherd. So a shepherd must feed the flock. A shepherd must also lead the flock. You read in 1 Peter 5, 1-3. So I exhort the elders among you as a fellow elder and a witness to the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. The leadership of the elder, as we read there in 1 Peter 5, must not be domineering. It must not be a domineering leadership. The word translated as domineering in 1 Peter 5:3 is the Greek word katakoriou. It's the same word that appears in Acts 19. We might be familiar with Acts 19 in that incident where that demon-possessed man leapt upon the seven sons of Sceva. We read in Acts 19:16 that he overpowered them all. Katakoriou. And the man in whom was the evil spirit leaped on them, mastered all of them, and overpowered them. It's the same word that's translated as domineering. In 1 Peter 5:3, this demon-possessed man overpowered them so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. The elder must not overpower people into submission. Must not domineer them. He must not rely on anger, intimidation, and an overbearing, aggressive attitude to compel compliance. Rather, as we read there in 1 Peter 5:3, he must lead by example. Not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. The elder urges the body to service, he must be the first to serve. If he exhorts people in the church to do the work that nobody else wants to do, he must be the first in line to do that kind of work. If he teaches others generosity to the church, he must exemplify generosity himself. And when our elders lead by example, then according to what we're reading there in 1 Peter 5, verse 3, it is for the rest of the flock to join them, in the trenches. Not to stand idly by and say, well, it's his job, he's the elder. That's the elder's job, not mine. No, we are to join them in the trenches. They are to be examples to the flock. They lead, we follow. When our elders lead by example, let us join them in the trenches of challenging service and work. So elders must feed the flock. They must lead the flock. And finally, shepherds must be careful to guard the flock. Apostle Paul highlights the importance of this responsibility as we read on in his address to the Ephesian elders in Acts 20, from verse 29-31. I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore, be alert, remembering that for 3 years I did not cease night or day to admonish everyone with tears. The Apostle Paul, in his parting address to the Ephesian elders, warns them to be on the lookout for fierce wolves who would come into the church, who would even arise from within the church. Our Lord Jesus in Matthew 7 warns us that these ravenous wolves are false prophets who come to us in sheep's clothing. False prophets. What are these wolves in sheep's clothing? They're teachers. They're teachers of God's word, or profess to be teachers of God's word. They are so-called pastors. They're seminary professors. They're authors with best-selling books. They're false prophets, in other words. And they come in sheep's clothing. They masquerade as Christians. And that's the reason why they're so dangerous. If they just came claiming to be pagans or unbelievers, it's obvious who they are. They're dangerous because they masquerade as Christians. And because they masquerade as Christians, believers are liable to let down their guard. Let down their guard to their teaching. So these false prophets may be ordained. They may have a large audience. They may have a lot of followers on social media. Their videos on YouTube may garner tens of thousands of views. They may even quote scripture, but they twist its meaning. They speak twisted things. They pervert the gospel. and deny the truth of our Lord Jesus Christ. Their message is powerless to save because they corrupt the essential truths of the gospel. Their message is powerless to sanctify because it is the pure spiritual milk of God's word, as we read in 1 Peter 2:2, that is able to build us up, not the teachings of man. The Ephesian elders apparently took Paul's warning to heart. In Revelation 2, the Lord Jesus commends the church in Ephesus for their vigilance against false apostles and their twisted teaching. Revelation 2:2, the words of Jesus to the church at Ephesus, quite a bit later on from Acts 20, the events of Acts 20, verse 28. I know your works, your toil, and your patient endurance, and how you cannot bear with those who are evil, but have tested those who call themselves apostles and are not, and found them to be false. The Ephesian elders apparently took Paul's warning to heart, and Christ Jesus commends them, the church of Ephesus, for it. Brethren in Christ, let us respect the vigilance of our elders against the ravenous wolves who come to us in sheep's clothing. Our elders have been appointed by the Holy Spirit to carefully guard the church of God from wolves who would drag us away from a faithful devotion to Christ. Elders, let us keep careful watch on ourselves, that we too are not drawn away from the Lord Jesus by those who disguise themselves as servants of righteousness. 2 Corinthians 11:14 to 15. And no wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. So it's no surprise if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness. Their end will correspond to their deeds. Elders, we are charged with keeping careful watch over the church of God because Christ has redeemed the church for himself at the cost of his own blood. Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to care for the church of God which he obtained with his own blood. As we are reminded time and time again throughout our series in Philippians, all who are in Christ, all who truly trust in him for eternal life, are cherished by him because we are members of his body. The church is his sanctified possessions. And elders are entrusted with the care of Christ's sanctified possession. And that's an awesome task. An awesome task to care for Christ's special, cherished possession. And dare not handle a cherished possession of a friend or family member carelessly, whether it be an heirloom that's been in the family for generations, or a priceless antique, or a collector's item worth thousands. We know not to handle the cherished possession of others carelessly. How much more, elders, must we give special care to Christ's cherished body, which is worth infinitely more than any cherished possession on this earth? Let's pray. Holy, blessed Father, we thank you, Lord, for your instructions to elders. And we pray, Lord, that as we have considered and touched upon what your word teaches us about eldership, that we who are in the flock of God, who belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, who have been redeemed by him through faith at the incalculable cost of his blood, that we will heed your word and show honor and respect to those who have been entrusted with the care of our souls. And we pray also for the elders of this church, including myself, Lord, that we also would pay special attention to the church of God, which was obtained by the blood of your Son, Jesus Christ, that we would fulfill our role as elders, keeping careful watch over the flock as shepherds, to feed and to lead and to guard the church of Jesus Christ for its sanctification, for our own sanctification, and for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.